So the next thing that the Shem Shmuel says on the Pasha's Kedosha, so he wants to explain the connection between the Pasha's Achimos and Pasha's Kedosha. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that angels see, they don't have a Yetzer Hara, an evil side, so for them one Kadosh is enough. But people have a Yetzer Hara, so they need a double Kadosh. Kadoshim, I guess it's a double Kadosh. What does that mean? What does it mean, a double Kadosh? Double holiness. The angels have only one holiness. So he says, a person, Kedusha in general is a function, we said earlier, a function of restraint. Okay, you want to get Kadosh, you have to have a regimen of restraint. Thank God, you know, the Torah produces a lot of restraints on us. Let's, for example, Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos is a holy day. A lot of restraints on Shabbos. The 39 malachas. It's the holiest day because of all 39 malachas. The restraint produces the positive kedusha. Yontif, there's also restraints. I can't do X, Y, Z. I have kedusha for Yontif and so on. Yom Kippur is a very, very holy day. There's more restraints on food, drink. Kedusha comes from restraining oneself. He says, what's this double Kedusha that the Medrash speaks about by people? So he quotes his father, Avni Nezer said, a person has to have a restraint not to go below his level. He also has to have a restraint not to go above his level. Okay, this is something that too many people are aware of. Okay. The angels, their restraint is not to go below their level. But they don't have a problem of going too high. One second. Okay. The angels can't go below. They don't have an evil sign. They have a problem, they're not supposed to go too high. People have a double problem, or a double challenge. Not to go too low, obviously, but also not to go too high. Isn't that interesting? So in Pashas Achrimos, Aaron HaKohen was warned not to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim like his sons, only once a year. In other words, not to go too high, because his sons, they broke the barrier. They went into the Kodesh Kedoshim. They went higher than they're supposed to. So that was his warning at the beginning of Achrimos. He says, Al Yavah B'cholei Yisrael HaKodesh. You shouldn't go whenever he wants into the Kodesh Kedoshim. He has to have a restraint not to go too high. And here, in this Pasha, is the other restraint of Akilu Arayos. Stay away from Arayos. Stay away from prohibited sexual things. Is not to go too low. So you have restraint on the downside and a restraint on the upside. Okay, Rabosai, this is a very important yisod for us. Because we have pulls in both directions. Know, a lot of the street out there is pulling us down. But sometimes, so that's our biggest problem, is not to get pulled down when you're living in New York City, I think. Or the internet age. That's, I think, the biggest problem, not to get pulled down. But there's also a problem not to get too high. It's not your level. Okay, I was in the mikveh. Erev Yontif, and the guy who runs the mikveh came to me and says, I'm Rachman, I ask you a question. You know, this morning there was a yeshiva boy. He came to the mikveh. He literally stayed in the mikveh for 45 minutes. He was dunking up and down, up and down, up and down. And people were getting all, people wanted to go in, and this guy is going up and down, up and down. So he says, I don't know what I should do. Should I tell him that he's taking too long? I said, you know, I think you can tell the guy it's a tikh, it's a boo, it's not right for a person to hog a mikveh. So he said he spoke to the fellow. And the fellow said, "You don't understand what I'm doing. I'm doing all kinds of holy things, thinking about all kinds of holy thoughts." And he has to go. I said, "Maybe he's dunking himself 72 times. You know, 72 is a mystical number." So I read in books about things like this, that certain tzaddikim did things like that. But if he's a boy in a yeshiva, how old is he? 23, maybe 20. What's he behaving like a tzaddik? He has to go to the mikveh 72 times.
So is that more like
too much? It's too high. He's too high. That's what the Shem Yishmuel is warning us against. He says, there's another level of Kedusha, restraining yourself from going too high. He'd be 70-year-old man. Okay.
So it's like Yuhara, in a way.
Say it again.
Yuhara, like spiritual.
Yuhara, right, exactly. Spiritual Yuhara. Right. Good, that's very good. The Gemara is Yuhara. The Gemara says you shouldn't do things which are more than your level. Because it's like a phony tzaddik. A guy who's putting on the show is a phony tzaddik. He sincerely might believe it, that he is at this level. But it's not right, because Shem Yishmuel in other places, here he's Makatza, he's short. He just says Kedoshim, you should know that there's another Kedusha, not to go too high. But in other places he says if a person does go too high, he has a very big risk of falling, and he'll fall much lower than he should fall, than he should be. If he wouldn't have tried to go so high, he wouldn't fall. But this way he will fall, then he'll fall way below where he should be. Because it's not so, it's a big risk to go too high. It's a risk of falling very low. Like climbing a ladder, if you slip off towards the top, you fall, a big fall. So you have to go slowly, step by step up. That's his route. Okay, I think that some yeshiva boys have this problem, trying to go too high, too fast, too high. But in general, the problem is on the lower side, not to go down. You shouldn't go down. But
there's some people, unfortunately, out of both at the same time. Like, so it's more attractive to be mocker than to actually keep halacha at the same time. Like, it's more attractive to not keep
a level
than do what you're supposed to do.
Right. You know, it says this, as you say, there's this streak within us not to follow the rules. So either to break the rules on the downside or to break the rules on the upside. Right. Definitely, like for example, if you want to, you could say, maybe a little bit of a stretch, but you could say that this new thing, egalitarian minyanim, they call it community minyanim,
partnership
minyanim. So they're trying to go too high, right? They're trying to break the barriers of men and women, which maybe is a good cause, that women should feel be able to express themselves fully. Maybe it is a good cause. I'm not saying it's not a good cause. So it's a higher level, but you're jumping into something that you don't know what you're doing. When you make a partnership minyan, you think women on the wrong side of the machitza. So the goal might be nice, noble goal, but the method is different, very high. You know, jumping too high, too fast, too far, too high. Then, chas v'shalom, the fear is that you fall into, break halacha all over the place. Once you break this halacha of the machitza and the shul, which is an old halacha, break it, you can break many halachas, also for noble cause. Like I was reading an article a couple of days ago, the UJA Federation, it's, you know, they're the big Jewish charity, so they're all concerned about the fact Jewish continuity, you know, you have to have more, keep at least our numbers. Numbers of Jews are shrinking because of intermarriage. So what are they writing? So now they say, you know what we should do? We should accept children of intermarriage as Jewish. You only need one sign. In other words, of course, course, your goal is having more Jews in the United States. So let's jump to some higher level, and we'll say, okay, anyone who says he's a Jew is a Jew, whether or not it's halachically correct. So again, a noble cause can lead to breaking halacha, which is a real collapse, so to speak, from where we're coming from. So just because you want to do something great, be very careful. Don't just jump and do it step by step. You don't want to lose on the downside. You wouldn't accomplish anything. You'd be breaking halacha, so what accomplish? Because you know without halacha, Jewish continuity is doomed. There's no such a thing. Jews never have been able to continue for centuries without the halacha. Halacha keeps us, and makes us the eternal nation, like I mentioned before. L'olam vod, the kadosh, the kedusha of the Jews is forever, is only because of the halacha, the Torah. Without the Torah, it does not exist. It's for a while. You can have substitutes for a certain amount of time, but eventually these substitutes wither away.
So there's anything wrong with not jumping too much. So there's really think that with partnership and all these things, if they were to take these things at a slower pace, I don't know how they would do it. Because maybe like women's like careers for like 20 years or something, if it went on a slower pace, would that end up being a more acceptable thing?
Maybe. They 20 plus years ago, they created women's prayer groups.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't really skyrocket by women to have their prayer groups. In certain shuls, they still have them.
Right.
It wasn't, when it started, they were very excited over it,
right.
Creators of it. It was also at the time, it was somewhat controversial. They took out a Sefer Torah. It's all a problem of brachas. Okay, anyway. It seems like this. It seems that that experiment didn't achieve the goals.
Right.
So now they're coming with the partnership.
Right.
The partnership is a much bigger problem, halacha, than
right.
The women's prayer. The women's prayer is not such a...
Yes.
It's a somewhat of an issue, but not like this. This is much worse. This is a much bigger problem because it's in the shul. You're breaking out of the barrier, the machitza. I don't know, you know, if you would go slowly, step by step, where you would eventually be able to go. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In general, it could be that the focus is misplaced. In other words, if the focus is to try to change the synagogue.
Okay.
That I think would probably be, you know, someone who's smart would say have a certain agenda with bringing women more into to plan different things, to practice more and be better. I don't know, but I definitely would not have said that the place to focus is on in the synagogue service.
Right.
I wouldn't say that's the place. I would have focused more on women's learning Torah groups.
Yeah.
Learning Torah, that's an area which is definitely, you know, within halacha, it's not such, it's definitely more amenable to development, to develop the area of women's Torah.
So you're more positive?
Yeah, let's say, you know, they created, maybe 15 years ago, they created here and in Israel, they call women passing questions about Hilchos Nida. What do they call them?
Yatzot,
yeah. And they became, that became a mainstream thing. They were accepted by the Rabbanut HaRashit. And women who want to do that have a place, you know. It became a very good thing, the Yatzot. They could have worked that more. You know, they could have expanded. They made Yatzot for Hilchos Nida, and they also did, you know, it suddenly became sort of like sort of halachic lawyers in Gittin,
right.
Divorce cases. They could have expanded it, that there should be more, they'd learn more, they'd learn maybe Asa B'Cholov, the kitchen halachas, Yehudeya. which is what they call today Maharat, you know?
Yeah.
That they could have done. I think that would be the place where you would go, where I would go. I wouldn't go into the shul. I wouldn't take, let's say, this Maharat thing and say, okay, now she's inside the shul, she's sitting up front with the rabbi on the podium.
Yeah.
That's already breaking the shul. I don't think the shul is a place which is amenable to a lot of innovation like that. A certain amount, but not like this. I mean, singing in the shul is an area of innovation. You could have brought in more, maybe, instruments, not on Shabbos, but on other days, let's say Hanukkah. Maybe you could have bring instruments into the shul to play music during Chol Hamoed or something like that. But I don't, that's an area, but I don't think women's participation in the shul is too... It's too old of an institution. It goes all the way back to the base of Mikdash that they put women in a separate area. And it's been in shul since then. They talk about, who knows, 2,500 years. It's not the kind of thing that you can readily change, something so old. But learning Torah is different. Learning Torah was just that women didn't have the opportunities, of course, the early childhood marriages, which changed maybe 100 years ago, but until maybe 100 or so years ago, girls getting married at 12 or 15, so they couldn't really sit and learn Torah. And then you had the Beis Yaakov. I think that Torah is an area where there's still plenty of place for expansion.
And all the Torah expansion, what I was thinking about, is like it was more, it came about more as we want Jewish continuity. We don't want the Jewish people to die out. And we need to like have their Torah as strong as their secular knowledge, we're supposed to like partnership in Yanim is more like they were oppressed and
The attitude, yeah. So well that's a different attitude in general, yeah. If you feel that women were oppressed, yeah, that's I think that's just but you could say they didn't have the opportunities and now they have more opportunities, that's the way look at it, yeah. And but the synagogue is the wrong platform. That's why I don't think it definitely is not going to fail. It's definitely what he's talking about, jumping high, and then it's very dangerous as opposed to jump so high. It's a dangerous thing. The women's learning Torah has been a step by step process that can move on to more Torah. But I wouldn't do the davening. The women's prayer service was an innovation, which was accepted in some shuls. It's fine. It's not so controversial. But it just did not appeal. Well, I don't exactly know why not. It's just that it's a. I don't know. The Lubavitch, in general, I think that when it comes to real life things, Lubavitch is a good place to look and see what do they do, because the Rebbe, the last Rebbe, he devoted his life, he was a great man, he devoted his life to real things, real applications to get people involved in Judaism. So the things that he did, those things, those are good. Women should light candles, Shabbos candles. He wanted every person, every man to have tefillin, put on tefillin. He knew what, he had a good sense. He wasn't, he had the idea of where you could and where you shouldn't move. The Rav was very big in women learning Torah. But the Rav was women learning Torah, but he also was into certain kinds of mitzvahs and things. So, I think if everybody would just follow the lead of what the Rav said and what the Lubavitch Rebbe said, it'd be fine. The Rav said Talmud Torah, and the Lubavitch Rebbe said more participation in mitzvahs. But both of them would not dare touch the shul.
Right.
The shul was off limits. It's Kodesh, you know. It's like a place of Mikdash. You don't go in there and make innovations. It's very, very, very rigid, the shul. It's what he says, Kadosh and restraints. There's a certain, some places there's flexibility on the restraints, and some places it's a very rigid restraint. Like, you can't go in Tales of Shabbos, let's say, I'm going to change the 39 malachas. It won't be Shabbos anymore. That's rigid. But so, only real big gadol know, you know, where to move up, how to move up. The one who gone thought that the chassidim were going up the wrong way. That's why he was against chassidus. It turned out that the chassidim were okay. They did things the right way. He didn't believe that it would work out, but it did. But you never know. Sometimes a person, let's say the chassidus, they push certain things. The Vilna Gaon said it would not work. It did work. So, you know, maybe you'll come back 25 years from now and say, oh, the partnership, I mean, it was a great innovation that got so many people involved and they keep halacha. I doubt it, because it doesn't come from the right place. It's not, the motivation seems to be a wrong motivation. It's a motivation to try to change what some call perceived injustice. That's not a good motivation. Motivation has to be something positive. I want to express my religion, Yiddishkeit, more ways. But as he says, you have to do it with a very great restraint. Not just jump up, you have to do it with care. Yeah, so there is this and Dafka, what's very interesting is that the Jewish continuity needs this restraint. That's what's ironic. The people who do these, I call them exaggerated innovations, they think that they're going to get more continuity, more people will be involved, more people will join. Turns out just the opposite, that these exaggerated innovations create more dropout.
So the Shalom Rebbe saw in the Torah to go, or like Sash, or Jonathan Sash, based for Torah, and he was focusing on Seder, when the Russian Maha Maha Buddha comes over the Chavuk, what is that supposed to do? Talking about, like, I think Rebbe was also, like, many times, he said it's referred to Korbanos, but he took a different angle. He was focusing on the fact that Avoda actually means like the more difficult things in Yiddishkeit that we have to fight for. They took from like the Pew study, they said it was very interesting because like the things that are most observed in Judaism is Pesach. Pesach, it doesn't make any sense. Pesach is a very hard thing with like Chametz, and also Yom Kippur is very hard. That's also the most like commonly observed thing. It's the exact opposite. People think, so, oh, we have to bring people in to make things easier, but it's the harder things that actually bring people in.
Excellent. It's perfect what he says. It's very true. The hard things are what are more observed than the easy ones. And it's what the Shem Shmuel says, that the restraint creates the Kedusha. So, and people want Kedusha. People have a desire for Kedusha. So they're ready to pay the price of the restraints to get the Kedusha. They're ready to say, we'll keep the Pesach, we'll keep the Yom Kippur. It's very good. Well, Bris Milah, for example. Bris Milah is also a very hard thing. People will do it. Very good. Okay, but I will stop here. Have a very good Shabbos.